That's a good one. Amen. Y'all may be seated. When Lynette and I first started out back in, got married December 30th in 66, I was an evangelist, and we got married in December of 65, and then in 66 we started traveling as an evangelist, and she would play the piano, and we would sing a duet, and that was our signature song, and then she would sing some on her own. But back in that day, you couldn't get a meeting at a church if you and your wife didn't sing in the Pentecostal churches. Anybody remember that? So we were sort of, huh? Yeah, that's why I married her. Yeah, that's what she said anyway. All right. Well, they're getting into me. They must think I'm one of them other preachers that preaches, you know. And I'm not long-winded like the rest of them, so they get it to me too early. So you get out early, I guess, huh? Turn to Psalms. Psalms 1. Psalms 1. That's right. Actually, this set of scriptures here, about three verses here, is how to be happy no matter what happens. Really. You know, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel. Now, somebody says, well, how about the ladies? Well, that is a neutral gender term meaning mankind, okay? And that's all of us. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the mocker. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Now, if you go to Strong's, you'll find out that this Greek word blessed, or Hebrew word, excuse me, blessed here, carries the idea with it of happy. And you wouldn't change, you know, you could read it, happy is the man. So, you know, happy. That Hebrew word, now blessed in the Hebrew, actually means happy. Turn to your neighbor and say, happy, happy, happy. Happy. You know, now, you know, we use the word happy, and we use the word joy, and we use the word gladness, and sometimes we realize that they each really have a sort of a different meaning. But have you ever noticed we sort of use those words interchangeable? Anybody ever notice that? How many ever noticed that? But they really have, but we have learned to understand and know what we're talking about, you know. Say, man, I am so glad. You know, well, you might be meaning that you're full of joy, you know. So that we interchange them. And I technically, yes, they have different terms. But I probably will use them in different, tonight, use all of them, you know. Happy, joy, and gladness, you know. So if we, how many of you really like to be blessed or happy? Yep. You know, David was happy in the Lord. And you can see this by all of the psalms that he wrote. Now, he didn't write all the psalms. Some of them were written by others. But he wrote quite a few of them. And you could say that he was a happy man. Now, let me ask you a question. There's only been 3 days go by this week already. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Well, if we count Sunday, it's four, but we've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 4 days, 3 days. How many of you have had the opportunity to be sad instead of glad already this week? That's sort of the way life is, isn't it? You know? Has anybody had the chance to have feeling anger instead of happiness? Has anybody met somebody this week that made you less joyful? And we all could vote yes to every one of those. That's what happens as we live our daily life. We're going to encounter different things that will steal our gladness, that will steal our joy, that will steal our happiness. Hello. So, you know, as we go through this, we have to make up our mind we're going to be happy. And we're going to see about this. You know, from Smith Wigglesworth's book, The Apostle Faith, written by Stanley Frojam, in the early days, Wigglesworth had gotten saved, and before he got into ministry, he was a plumber. And one day he is doing a plumbing job at a certain house, and the woman who lived there said to him, "Tell me, what is the cause of your face showing such a wonderful expression of joy?" And Wigglesworth then had the opportunity to tell the woman how good the Lord had been to him because he and his family trusted in the Word of God. So now let's look at this. Blessed or happy is the person who does not. That's what it says. Blessed is the man, or we can put person in there, who does not. So if you're going to be happy, there are some things that you can't do. Hello. See, a blessed and happy person does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Now, you can't walk with the wicked and expect to be happy. You know, some people try to straddle the fence, half with God and half not. No, you can't. It doesn't work that way. Now, I'm going to go a little bit of direction here, because immediately when I say wicked, you think about murder, thief, immoral person, and so forth and so on, right? But really, it's interesting that in the Word of God, somebody that is an unbeliever is called evil or wicked. Hebrews 3:12 is one place. Now, the challenge for us, it's not to walk according to the counsel of someone who is in doubt and unbelief. Did you know a person could be born again and be in doubt and unbelief? There are a lot of people that can believe for salvation, but they can't believe for anything else. I mean, when I was associate pastor, back whenever I was, 27 years, 28 years old, a lady got cancer in our church. I was trying to remember her name now. I forgot her name. Millie, that's right. Millie. Now, I talked to Millie about getting healed and about healing and what the Word of God, and she said, "I can't believe that." But she would call me in the middle of the night, two or three times sometimes. And she said, "I can believe that when you pray that the pain will leave." And Lynette's here to tell you, I'd pray for her and she'd be without pain 3, 4, 5 hours sometimes. She'd call again and want me to pray and she'd be without pain. And I told her, I said, "That same faith that you're believing that will heal you." I couldn't get her to believe God for her healing. And that's why I'm saying that there's some people that are born again, but they can't, they're unbelievers when it comes to other things. You know, you can't listen to doubters and pouters and expect to be a blessed or a happy person. Hello. Have you ever noticed if you get around people that are talking doubt and unbelief, everything just seems to all of a sudden just How many know what I'm talking about? I mean, you could go in there happy and jumping around and, whoa, man, this is the day the Lord has made. Yeah, maybe you think so. You don't know what I've been through today. And they start going on, and the next thing you know, the whole atmosphere and you're even beginning to be influenced by that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? See, if you want to be happy, there's some people you can't listen to. Now, okay, let's go on here. Let's see what else we can't do. The blessed man or the happy person does not stand in the way of sinners. That means that you've got to be careful who you're hanging out with. Oh, but I wanted to try to win them. Lord, that's good. That's well and good. But hey, you got to hang with people of your own kind. When I'm saying hanging, I'm talking about just spending all your time with them. It's all right if you want to go talk to them, try to help win them. But I'm convinced that if you hang around with these unbelievers too long, things will start to rub off on you and you'll start to lose your joy. Hello. Now, so let's look at this now. Blessed is the happy man that does not sit in the seat of the mockers. You know, if you get around unhappy people and you hang around them very long, you find out that they're very cynical about life. They become very sarcastic. And just about every comment they make is in the negative. Now, don't look at me like that. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you sitting there. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's why you... No. I'm kidding. But some of the most unhappy people around are ones that are always making some kind of cynical remark. They're always mocking somebody. You know, I don't know why kids do it, but I go all the way back to when I was in elementary school, and I guess they still do it today. If there's somebody that's just a little different or something, everybody makes fun of them and makes all kinds of remarks about them, you know. And happiness can't be found when you're mocking somebody. You cannot do some things and expect to be happy, because it goes against everything that God is talking about. See, here you go. Let's go back there and look at that. Blessed is the man, happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of ungodly or the wicked, and or stands in the way of sinners, or sets in the seat of mockers. So, now I realize that we preach a positive gospel, and we said we don't want to preach some don't. We don't like to preach don'ts, but there are some don'ts with the Word of God. And most of them are not what a lot of people try and say. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other. No. That's most of it. That is tradition. But there are some don'ts according to what the Word of God says that we don't do. Hello. Anybody getting anything out of this? You know, this is just very simple exegesis on the scripture. That's all this is, you know. I was looking at one of the book I've had since Bible college. and I don't know why it was in that book. There's a two volume set about from Genesis to what one of Malachi, and then I guess the one on the New Testament, and the covers were all, they had to still had the paper covers on them, but they were all worn out and cracked. And I opened it up, and I was looking there about what it's saying about this, and out fell a piece of folded up paper. And I unfolded it, and it was the stub off of my check, because I worked at Fast Merchant when I was going to Bible school. One of the places I worked, Fast Merchant's Fast Motor Freight. And it said I worked 47.84 hours that week, and I made $97.82. Loading and unloading freight trucks on the freight dock. That was 1960, I think it said. But I was looking there, and it was talking about that as they were, the several different authors were giving different opinions and different things on the scripture, but the consensus of every one of them was that you can't do these things and maintain your happiness, your joy, and your gladness in the Lord. One of them said, it's impossible to remain happy or blessed in the Lord if you do any of these things. Not just all of them, just one of them. So then if there's things we can't do, then what is it that we should do? Okay? See, anytime you want to, my dad used to teach this and talk to me. If you're going to, he would always say, when my dad pastored, those churches he pastored were always little small churches that he pastored. In fact, the last church he took in Van, Texas, they were about 30 people. That it had been a really good church, and the pastor that was there had run it in the ground and done a whole bunch of bad things. And in fact, when we took the church, we had to live with the deacon for 3 weeks because they couldn't get him out of the parsonage. One of the things he did, they had taken up money to put a bathroom in the parsonage. And when we moved in, all the fixtures were there, but there was a path and a little house out back. I'm talking about 1946 when I started school. I helped Dad as a first grader. I helped Dad put pipe underneath the house and so forth and so on. And so, you know, as we were there, he always had a lot of, he built that church up, and every church he always had a lot of young people. And everybody would ask him and say, well, Brother Hagin, how are you getting all those young guys? And he had several young ministers that would come out of those churches. Doug, did you ever talk to him about that? He'd talk about that, wouldn't he? And you know what I heard him tell? I'm 7, 8 years old. I heard him tell the other pastors. He said, I don't tell the young people what they can't do. I tell them what they can do and they don't want to do. He was always on this side. Now, he said, there are certain things you can't do, but if you get over and start doing the things you can do, you won't want to do the things you can't do. Right. Let me understand what I'm saying to you. So the things that we can do and actually should do and need to do if we're going to be happy. Now, it says here, blessed is the man that doesn't do these things, right, in that first trip. So, and then it gets down to the second verse, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law does he meditate day and night. Now, blessed or happy is the person that delights in the law of the Lord. Now, the continual happy person who's one that stays in the Word of God. No matter what happens, what doesn't happen, they're still with the Word. The Word is the foundation. All right? You know, Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Some people won't know. So the Lord said he'd give me desires of their heart, but they're not delighting in the Word. Hello. See, any time that you start to lose your joy and your happiness, you need to ask yourself the question, am I in the Word? Am I in the Word? And you know, when you begin to find out people that are becoming disgruntled and upset with everything going on, you find out that they're not in the Word. And the next thing you find out is that they're hitting and missing when it comes to coming to church. Because the Bible said, forsake not the assembling yourself together. As we come together as Christians, as we come together and worship together, we strengthen one another. We don't realize it, but we do. Hello. We draw strength from one another. Are you meditating in the Word of God? This is how you keep yourself happy no matter what happens, is to stay in the Word of God. But you see, instead of meditating on the Word, you're meditating on the problem. You're thinking about the problem. Oh, why? Why is this happening? Why is this, God? Oh, God, why are you letting this happen? Come on, don't look at me like that. We've all been there and all done it. I said all. I included me, so you don't have to act that way. We all have been to the position that we ask why. Instead of asking why, meditate on God's Word until you find the solution and then meditate on that. See? The Word of God has a solution for everything you face. How many of you believe that? You really believe this? You really believe that the Word of God has a solution for everything you face? Let me see your hand if you really believe that. It's there. Sometimes we don't make it work for ourselves. That doesn't mean we lose our salvation. Doesn't mean we're not going to heaven. We're just not making the Word work for us. It all comes back to what we're doing. Now, it goes on here, and it says, where am I? Oh, I turned, my pages got turned on me. Okay. It says here, then, he is like a tree planted by the streams of water. Now, how many of you have ever driven out across Interstate 10 or Interstate 40 going west, and you get going across the desert there in New Mexico and Arizona? If you look off across the distance, you can tell where water's at because there'll be trees growing. How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So if you need water, you know you're going to find something there because everything else is just parched earth and a few tumbleweeds and maybe occasionally a scrub mesquite tree might be there and a bunch of cactus. That's it. But if you look over in the distance, and you'll see, I mean, you might even see a whole row of trees. And you know, hey, man, there's a stream there. Because, see, that's where the trees grow. They can't grow here. They have to grow there because their roots go down and pull the water in. Now, he said he is likening us to a tree. See, it said his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law does he meditate. And he is like a tree planted by the river. Then what he's saying is when we get in the Word, we become like that tree that's planted by the water. We begin to pull the nutrients and the strength. You know, that's what the tree is doing with its roots. It's pulling the water, the nutrients, the strength that it needs to maintain. That's what we're doing with the Word of God. See? Do you see the figuratively, symbolic, whatever the word is, anyway. Okay? See, a tree planted by water is able to endure. It's the same way when we have the word planted in our hearts and in our minds, we can endure the trials and the hardships that come our way. Now, it goes on here to say, which yields its fruit in season. That's an interesting statement. We sometimes want our fruit when it's not the season. Come on. He says here, we'll be like, if we meditate in the Word of God and delight in the Word of God, we'll be like a tree that brings forth its fruit in season. Whether you understand it or not, if you study the Word of God, you'll see that as we live our Christian life, we go through different seasons. And it's just, I mean, if you study, he was always using vineyards and things like that. Hey, and plants, they were, you know, vineyard, it has a season. There's a time that there's not any grapes there. But there's a time there's grapes there. So what we need to realize is that we keep on believing, we keep on studying, we keep on meditating. Because, you see, it's the roots of that tree that are continuing to draw the water and the minerals and what it needs. And then there'll be fruit. See, as you continue to pull from the Word of God, then there'll be the time that you'll yield the fruit. How many are, do you get that analogy? Do you understand that? See, so many times we read the Word of God and we don't really understand it. And I was just looking at this today, and this has always been one of my favorite verses of Scripture. I like reading it because it shows us what we can wind up getting ourselves into doing, and then it shows us what we need to do to keep ourselves blessed. Hello? You see, when we meditate on the Word of God, in the middle of the crisis, we'll get thrilled. Not thrilled with the crisis, we're thrilled with what the Word of God tells us. Amen. Meditate on the Word of God helps us to think happy thoughts. You can have something happen to you and you're sort of down and sad, and you begin to quote the Word of God, and all the next thing you know, you're up. Anybody ever been there besides me? I've done it many times. Hello? See, there are times when you're in the middle of a painful trial, and as you meditate on the Word of God, you get so happy. And somebody said, what are you happy about? You ain't got nothing to be happy about. Yeah, I have too. The Word of God. I got to check, because the Word of God tells me that this is just a temporary thing. And it too will pass. Hello. The Word promised me victory. The Word has promised me healing even while the symptoms are there. The word has promised me that there's no lack even when I don't have a penny in my pocket. See, if you're going to be happy and blessed, no matter what's happening around you, you're going to have to delight yourself in the Lord. Are you always going to feel like it? Absolutely not. But you do it anyway. How many of you don't always feel like going to work? But you do it anyway, right? Because if you don't, you don't eat. You don't pay the... You don't have no fuel for you. Can't buy no fuel for your car. Hello? Come on now. You see, if you're going to be happy and blessed, you have got to sing praises to the Lord when you don't feel like it. Now, I like to listen to one kind of music. That's what gets me and Lynette listens to something else. And so usually after when we're getting ready, she has her music over there, and she's doing her makeup and getting all ready. And so I just leave. But as soon as she goes out and goes upstairs to her beauty shop to do her hair, I get out my little Gary Crowell brought me from Hong Kong. It's called the Rod, and it works on Bluetooth. And then I turn on my music. And I start meditating and praising the Lord. It necessarily, just as long as it is magnifying the Lord, if it blesses you. Now, I mean, these kids nowadays, it blesses them to hear that rap stuff. Me, I can't get blessed from trying to figure out what they're saying. Come on. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But how many of you have kids or grandkids? And man, they're all into it. Huh? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. It's the different generations. See, some of you are in a generation, you go back and you get blessed with all the old courses we used to sing back in the 70s and 80s when the charismatic renewal just first started. That's when how many of you got in back then in the charismatic renewal? That's the songs that still minister to you. Am I right or wrong? I grew up with a lot of quartet music. Man, I used to go over, I mean, I'm senior in high school and then into Bible college. I go over to Fort Worth to the Coliseum and they'd have them all night sings and Happy Goodmans would be there and the Statesman and man, I still like to hear that kind of music. Why? Because that's what I grew up with. That's what ministers to me. But find you some music that'll minister to you. Now, there's some of you that you like David Engel's music. How many of you like David? I like David. I like him. In fact, I was preaching at the Assembly of God Church over there when he came down and really then started getting turned on. He's already turned on, but I told him he could have Desire's Heart, and from there he started. But I listened to some of his. I got his. I listened to him too. But some people, they like that style of music. And some people like some of these other groups. I don't know what all they are, you know. But hey, whatever it is, then you need to start listening to that, meditating, get yourself meditating on that. That's the way I get started. I got it on in my car when I get in the car. Most of the time now I do sometimes listen to a sports station and see what they're saying about sports because I like that. But the majority of the time I got it on Enlightened on my, what do you call that, Sirius satellite radio, and that's what they play, country gospel and quartet music there. And so that's why I live. Now, they've got the Message, and then there's another Praise, and they do some of the other songs. I'll turn over there occasionally, but what am I trying to say to you? Find something that you can use to stimulate you when you don't feel like it. That's what I'm saying. That'll help you get ready. All right, now, I gotta hurry. Blessed and happy is the man when he does all of this that we've been talking about. What's the life? Bring forth fruit in his season. And then what does it say right there at the end? What does it say? What? Whatever he does, shall prosper. Whatever. You know, that means you'll be prosperous no matter what. God told Joshua 1:8, don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And then you will be prosperous and successful. That's the NIV. So, if we do what Psalms 1:1-3 says, we're going to be happy and prosperous, joyful, glad. Hallelujah.
How many understand that Christ has designed you to have a happy life, a glad life, a joyous life? Let's stand up and thank God for that. Father, we thank you tonight for the word. I pray that as the word has gone forth, that it's found lodgment in hearts. And may each individual receive what they need from this message and begin to put it to work in their life so that they can live a prosperous and happy life. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Listen, of course, we're talking about those that are a Christian. So if you happen to not know Jesus Christ, and you can know him before you leave here tonight, and you come down here and talk to the prayer partners on each side, the men here and the ladies over here, and you can receive Jesus. Or if you need to rededicate your life, or if you just go to church, you don't know whether you're a Christian or not, well, you can come down and talk to them. If you need prayer to receive the Holy Spirit, healing, you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, come right down here as soon as we're dismissed, and you can leave here not like you came. Connection team, go find those first-time guests and take them to get that gift.